Children, they love to imitate their parents, but they really like to imitate their fathers for some reason, because, I don't know, maybe you fathers are more interesting or something, but they really like to. And I imagine all dads present this morning have a favorite memory of when their kids mimic them in some way. Ryder and sometimes Addie, but mostly Ryder, he loves to do what his dad is doing. He'll follow him into the garage and he'll get tools out and he'll pretend he's working on something, or likes to shovel snow or play the guitar. And he even says things like Ryan does, like when he's talking to Addie. He'll tell her if she doesn't do something, she'll have to go to a room for a timeout. So they mimic what we do, right? They're, as I call them, they're little mockingbirds. But as parents, our job is to set a good example and be a leader the way we want our children to grow. Too often, we expect our children or our grandchildren or whatever child that's in your life to just learn what we need to do by us telling them. But that's not how it works, is it? They follow our examples. That's how they learn. That's how they do what they do, is they see us doing what it is we want them to learn. And it's important that we remember that our children are modeling their lives after ours. Sometimes that's hard to remember, that our children are modeling their lives. But we've got to set a good example. We've got to be that example that we want them to grow up to be. I found this story of a little boy who had said several curse words one day. And as a punishment, his mom sent him upstairs to his room. When the father got home, she told him what their son had said, and the father was furious. He vowed, "I'll teach that boy to curse," and he began to storm up the steps to the child's room. About halfway up, he stepped on a roller skate that had been inadvertently left on the stairs. And as he tumbled downward, he let out a new explicative for every step he hit. Finally, when he got to the bottom, his wife said, "Honey, I think that's enough for his first lesson." The moral of this story is that we need to watch what we're doing and saying, right? He was going to go and give that little boy a talking to and tell him how he shouldn't be swearing and shouldn't be saying those words, and yet something happens, and what does he do? He tumbles downstairs. Now, mind you, when I tumbled downstairs, I did not do that. I thought it was kind of fitting that this fit into that story, and I tumbled downstairs. Maybe I was just, you know, God was testing me or something. But no, I laid at the bottom and was silent. But you have to watch what you say and do, because they pick up on it. But I mention all of this about children following in their footsteps because we're going to read in just a few seconds here our scripture for today. And we are all children, aren't we? I mean, you grew up as from a child. Your parents may not be around now, but you still have a father, don't you? That you need to be following and imitating each and every day. And he set a pretty good example for us to follow, didn't he? Let's read our scripture, Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are traits in that scripture that we need to be following. And as we work through this, some of you will probably find yourselves thinking, well, I need to change that. I need to do better. It's not to point out where your flaws are, except it really is. It's to point out that we're not following in God's footsteps the way we should. We have a pretty good example, don't we? I mean, Jesus came, he came as a man, he grew up as a child, and he lived as a teenager, he lived as an adult, and yet he never sinned, didn't he? Things is that he loved. He loved unconditionally. And in the meantime, while he lived here on earth, he could have said, I'll just do what I want to do. I'm 100% God, just as much as I'm 100% man. But what does he do? He always goes back to the will of the Father, right? Jesus, even though he was 100% God, still followed in the footsteps of his heavenly Father. He did what his heavenly Father wanted him to do. You see, you have a whole scripture, a whole book. The way that God wants us to live, the way that God lived, the things that Jesus wants us to imitate and follow. But not only that, you've got a whole lifetime of things that God has done for you, don't you? This past week, what has God shown you? What has God brought you through? What has God forgiven you about? What has God done for you? You see, sometimes we forget that God does so much for us. And then when it comes our turn to forgive someone or do something for someone or be there for someone, we say, I just don't have time. I don't want to forgive. They really hurt me. They did this or they did that. I can't forgive them. The offenses that you did against God are probably much more worse than what somebody else did against you. And if God, the creator of the world, the creator of you, the creator of everything that you see, the one that sent his son to die on the cross for you, the one that shed his blood for you, if he can forgive you, then why can't you, creator of the world, the one that loves you so much, that gave his son, if he can love you in your state, why can't we love others in their state? You see, Paul tells us, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. You see, but this is not the only time where Christ followers are challenged to imitate God. 1 John 4:11 says, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And Luke 6:35, Jesus said, Love your enemies, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. God sent his son for each and every person, not just for us sitting in the church today, but he sent it for those who are out there right now, lost, confused, without hope, Those who are even saying today, this morning, you will never find me in a church because I don't want anything to do with Christ. I don't want anything to do with the church. I don't want anything to do with the Bible. I don't want anything to do with all of that. He died for them too. What happens is we get frustrated. We get angry at these people because they put God down, they put Christ down, they put the church down. And so we turn ourselves off from them. What we should do? Many, I can guarantee you, each and every one of you this morning has someone who is lost, someone who is confused, someone who says, I will never step foot in a church. Have you turned yourself off from them? Or are you living a life of love and just continuing to love them in spite of your differences? The life that Jesus led. He went to sinners, didn't he? How many of you here this morning are not sinners? Hands. That's because we're all sinners, right? Someone in your life, somewhere in your life, loved you enough, the way that Christ loves you, to say, hey, you need to go to church. Come with me. Whether it was from when you were a young child, into a teenager, or an adult, someone did not give up on you. Someone continued to love you even when you were at your worst. And we could be here all morning talking about love. But Paul tells us that in being imitators of God, we are showing love to others. Love to each and every. He may have told them things that he was doing wrong. He may have told them the sins that they had in their life. But do you realize how Christ did it? He did it with love. He didn't tear them down. He didn't beat them up. He didn't say, well, you're going straight to hell. I'm sorry for your loss. See you later. He says, you need to go and do better. Amen. Doing that's wrong, and you need to change them. You can't condemn someone without showing them what they're doing wrong. Now, will that be well received? Will people like you for showing them what their sins are? Not usually. Sometimes they'll even turn away from you. Sometimes they don't even want anything to do with you. Well, all they're doing is judging me. All they're doing is telling me what I'm doing wrong. No, what we're doing is we're showing the love of Christ and saying, hey, look, you've got to change that. When a child does something that's imitating of its parents, as long as it's a good thing or a cute thing, what do we usually do? We smile, we say, oh, how cute is that, right? I imagine that our Heavenly Father, when we do something that's imitating of Him, when we follow the books, when we follow what He did, when we follow the Holy Word of God, and we do what God has called us to do, I imagine that God is up there and He says, oh, look at my child. Like me. And I can imagine that God has a big smile on His face and His heart is full of love for each one of us who are trying to imitate His steps. You see, when I talk about parents and children and the way that we love our children, we can't even imagine the way that God loves us. My heart overflows with love for my two children. When they do something great and they do something wonderful, I burst at the seams with pride and joy of how great they are and the things that they've accomplished. And do you understand the love that your Father has for you? Things that you do when you follow in His footsteps and you do what He has asked you to do and you are an imitator of God, that I can just imagine that the love is so much that He is just bursting at the seams with how much love He has for you for following after Him. Ask any parent, any grandparent. They will tell you that there's no love like the love between them and their children or them and their grandchildren. But there is a love that is much stronger. And that's the love between you and your Heavenly Father. Do you allow that love to seep through you? Do you allow that love to be shown to other people? Think of it this way. How did Judas repay Jesus' loving service the night in the upper room when he washed his feet? Judas used his newly cleaned feet to walk out of that room and betray Jesus. Do you think that when Jesus was washing his feet, that Jesus didn't know that Judas was going to betray him? He knew it. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do when he left there. He knew exactly that Judas was going to go and turn him in and betray him. And he knew exactly that he was going to come and give him that kiss. But Jesus still loved him and washed his feet. We don't know when people will betray us. We don't know when people will do us harm. But we still got to love them, don't we? I can name a few people. Church, who are giving people. And that's a trait of God, isn't it? That he would be a giving person. If you ask these people in this church to give you the shirt off their back, they would run themselves ragged just to give it to you. They would run themselves ragged to give you whatever you want. And that's a trait of our Heavenly Father. Think of it this way. In Genesis, he gave life. In Exodus, he gave the law. In Joshua, he gave the land. In the Psalms, he gave strength and comfort. In the gospel, he gave his son. In Acts, he gave the Holy Spirit. In Revelation, he gave hope. And there's a lot of other things in between. We love unconditionally, and we love with no bounds. We've got to also want to give. Just as Christ gave us. Just as God gave us. Christ was on the cross. Give to the people that were around him. He gave forgiveness, didn't he? Because as he hung on the cross, he says, God, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. These guys, they beat him, they tortured him, they hung him on the cross for things that he didn't even do. And yet, what does he say? Forgive them? Could you do it? Someone that may have beat you, that he gave them the gift of forgiveness. But not only did he give them the gift of forgiveness, because that's why he was dying, right? He was dying on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And so he said, forgive them because I'm about ready to take my last breath. Who else did he forgive? Each one of you in this room. That's why he died. That's the ultimate love. So when we are being imitators of our Father, when we are being imitators of our Savior, we need to learn forgiveness, don't we? It's pretty hard to do sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we don't want to. But Paul goes even a little further. And he says, in how we should live, he says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. How many times in our culture do you see impurity or greed or even a hint of sexual immorality? Most of the time, all we got to do is turn on the TV, right? I told this story, I think it was just this past Sunday night, that when I was in college, it was a small little town. It's about 2 miles long, and all it has is the college in it. And there's nothing else to do, so we would always go about 45 minutes away, and we go to Olean, New York, and we would have dinner, we'd go shopping, we'd go to the movies, we'd do whatever. I can't remember the name of the movie. Me and my friends, we sat down almost in the front row of this movie theater, and we were watching this movie, and not even 5 minutes into the movie, there was sexual stuff in it and nudity.
I mean, you can see everything.
Me and my friends got up and walked out. I mean, we paid, you know, $9 for a movie ticket. We had popcorn. We had all kinds of stuff. And so we could have said, well, we paid for the movie. Let's just stay.
Is that what God's holy people do? Do they think that that's okay? Do they accept a movie that says, well, let's just have sexual impurity in it?
Too many times we allow ourselves to watch these things. Too many times we allow ourselves to think this is okay because why? This is what the culture says.
But is that what Paul tells us here? Is that being an imitator of Christ?
Look at what he says. He says, there must not even be a hint. He's not even just talking about sexual immorality, about the act of. He says there must not even be a hint of it.
We can't allow anything in our lives that is going to destroy God's holy people.
I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about books. I'm talking about anything and everything that would cause you to stumble. Greed. How much greed do you see in our society today? God, isn't it?
People want this, people want that, I want the newest and the greatest and I want everything.
But oh wait, I don't have the money to pay for it, so let's just put it on the credit card. Now there's credit cards for those that have them. But doesn't God tell us to live within our means? We've got to be careful with what we do and what we say. Greed can get to us. Then he goes on to say, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. The word for obscenities is from the word that we translate as filthiness. Paul is trying to say when we curse or swear or we do dirty jokes or we think that talking about somebody else is funny or there's foolish talk or whatever it may be that we do that is not good for God, that is not following God's steps, that we are being filthy. Like being called that? I can remember as a kid, my brother, he was always the really bad one, not me. My brother, he would swear like a sailor. He had a really filthy mouth, and my mom, she kept threatening him over and over again that if he didn't behave, if he didn't stop swearing, that he was going to have his mouth washed out with soap. How many of you ever used that on your kids? Okay, well, my mom always told him, if you don't knock it off your mouth, I'm going to wash it out with soap. Well, she threatened him, and he thought, I can get away with it because she's never going to do it. If you know my mom, she's kind of like a laid back, doesn't really want to offend anybody or step on anybody's toes or be mean to anybody. She wants to keep peace. One day she had enough. And I can remember she grabbed him by the arm, she hauled him back the hallway, and she stuffed his bar of soap in his mouth. He had to hold it in there, and I remember sitting in the hallway just laughing at him. But you see, this is something you want to hear. It does nothing to turn people off from being Christians. Jokes, the obscenities, the foolish talk. You know what happens with those? People go, well, they're not any different than I am. I don't need to go to church then because I'm just like them or they're just like me. Is that the example that we want to be? Is that the example that we should be? Is that imitating our Father? Next thing that we need to do is that we need to get out of darkness, right? And we need to walk in the light. When we're sinners, we're in darkness, aren't we? And we need to walk into the light. That when we're walking in the light, we're walking in obedience. When we're walking in the light, we are making fruit.
Because when we're walking in the light, we're showing other people who Christ is.
I don't know how many of you men wash windows, but most of the time women do the washing of the windows.
It used to be really hard for me to wash my windows, because before we got new windows put in, I'd have to go outside and get a ladder, and I'd have to stand on the ladder and reach over and try to wash the windows that way. Now we have these really nice windows that flip inside. I don't even have to go outside.
But it used to be really hard. And then whenever I would wash windows, and I'd be so satisfied with washing these windows, and I was so excited because I thought, oh, my windows are finally clean after the winter and all the dust and all of that, the sunlight would come out. And I'd be in the house, and I'd be excited about my windows, and then I see these stripes that I missed, and I see all these marks that I missed, right? Really irritated me. We're in darkness. When we're in sin, we've got all kinds of dust and all kinds of streaks and all kinds of stuff going on inside of us. But when we have the light within us, when we have Jesus living in us, guess what? That light shines through, and the dust and the particles and the streaks, they're shown to us, aren't they? And then when the light shines through to us and we see all the streaks and we see all the dust and we see all of the things that are inside of our spirits and our souls, that God says, that is not imitating of me. What is your job? Your job is to get rid of it, isn't it? Because when we walk in the light, we can't ignore the streaks. I'd walk past windows whenever I would, after I'd wash the windows and the light would come in, I'd walk past windows and I wouldn't look at it because I'd be so irritated. Sometimes that's what we do, don't we? The light shines through us and we say, but I don't want to look at that sin. I want to acknowledge that God is showing me that sin in my life, and so we continue to walk in darkness in those areas. But that's not being an imitator of God. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work and show us what our sins are and then turn from them. We need to walk in God's wisdom. Verses 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." How many opportunities have you let pass you by? And I'm not just talking about opportunities to help someone or go and give someone something or be there for someone or show love for someone. I'm talking about how many opportunities to obey your Father have you lost? How many opportunities to clean up your souls have you lost? How many opportunities to show love to God have you lost? And what does it say? Verse 20. Well, verse 19, it says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, then we're supposed to sing and talk to each other in psalms. The psalms are really nice, aren't they? Psalms are really nice. We're supposed to lift each other up. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to show love through ourselves, through how we live and how we act and what we do and what we say and what we sing. It all is to reflect on our Father, right? And always give thanks for everything.
A lot of the time, in closing here, rush over what's going on in our world. We accept things that we shouldn't accept, don't we? Well, it's just the way of the world. It's just the way that it's going. It's just the way that it is. But that's not what our Bible tells us. That's not what God's Word tells us is right, is it? That we are to be what? In the world, but not of it, right? Which means that we do not accept those things. Even when we're told that you must accept it, or you're judgmental, you must accept it, or you are hypocritical, you must accept it, or you're this or that, we say, no, we follow Jesus. And if we're following Jesus, then we say we only accept what Jesus accepts.
our everyday life? Do we only accept what Jesus accepts on a daily basis? How many movies have you watched with swear words in them? How many movies have you watched with some kind of hint of sexual immorality? Gotta be careful what we're doing. Because someday we will be giving an account for the things that we've watched, the things that we've said, the things that we've accepted that Christ did not accept. You will have to give an account for your everyday, for what you've done, what you've said, how you've acted. How awful would it be to stand before God and explain to him all the times that we wasted? Explain to him how it was the cultural thing to do? That the culture accepted it and so we just did too? Earl said, it's funny how it kind of went together, but as Earl said, Jesus is sitting right now at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you, covering your sins as long as you come to him, but someday that coverage will be gone and judgment day will be here. How are you doing? How are you lining up? Are you in the world and of the world? Are you accepting things that Jesus says do not accept? What are you doing being an imitator of God this morning? And I'm not just talking about this morning. How are you doing being an imitator of God in your everyday life? When maybe you're around those people that talk about all kinds of things or have cruel jokes or watch immoral things or say things that are impure. How are you showing the light of Christ in your walk? Because it's in each and every day, right? No matter what someone around you says, no matter what someone around you does, you need to be imitators of God, showing his love through you. How are you doing? Will you stand as we sing our last song?